All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our elite group. I think it's our sixth one, and we're here to do detoxification. So it's always everybody's favorite. And we're here to just like walk you through what we have available to you. But also, you know, I always like to throw in a few little extra ditties here and there to, you know, keep you going and talk about. Because detoxification, you know, is so, it's critical. It's critical to our health, right? And it's one of those things that gets kind of poo-pooed in mainstream. Like, oh, you're just trying to sell me some supplements. Oh, you just want me to do this thing, right? And I understand why. I understand why it gets a bad rap, because everybody's like, buy this detoxification powder and all you have to do is drink this detoxification powder and you're going to detoxify, as if it's a magical process. And detoxification is actually something we do every single day. Right. And I have a whole section in there called Everyday Detox. Your body, if it stopped detoxing, you would die, right? Because everything would get built up and, you know, just go away. So it's an important process. And everybody thinks of liver when they think of detox, which is the main detoxification organ. But there's detoxification mechanisms happening in other parts as well, especially the digestive tract. Right. So a lot of the detoxification pathways, that's not, you know, discrete pathways like, oh, it goes through this organ and this one, but there's specific enzymes like the CYP, cytochrome P450 enzymes that you might have heard me speak about if you had me look at your genetics. And it may have just sounded like gobbledygook. What is that? But those CYPs are actually a really important part of the phase one detoxification. And you can find them being secreted out of the gut lining. Huh, go figure. Where else do we have lots of toxins coming through, right? So our bodies are designed in such a wise way to allow us to be exposed and be able to distinguish between friend or foe, right? And that's part of the immune system as well. And then decide, okay, this is not good for us. Let's break it down. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize is even things that are good for us, right? Things that our body creates, like neurotransmitters and hormones, need to go through a detoxification phase. So they are active, they do their thing, but then they get metabolized and the breakdown products need to be eliminated and they go through pathways in the liver to be detoxified, to make water soluble, to put in the bile so they can be pooped away. Water soluble can also get sweated away, peed away, those sorts of things. So we need to have those organs of detoxification open all the time. And so digestion, right? We need to have bowel movements every day. Otherwise, whatever toxins your liver's done all this work to pull out of storage and put into the poop, it gets recycled if you don't eliminate the poop, right? I'm just talking in crass terms, but we've got to do that, right? We, you know, we pee a lot more than we poop usually, right? We're just, our body uses the water and then we go flush it out. And depending on how much water you drink, there's more or less toxins in your urine. If you're drinking a lot of water, you may notice that your pee is, it's clearish or very, very, very pale. And that means, you know, you're hydrated well, and or you don't have as many toxins, like you've diluted them, or there's not as many to start with. But we all have toxins. I mean, we all have them, no matter how pristine you are with your diet, with your exercise, we're exposed, right? We just breathe the air and we're exposed. The chemicals that are put out by factories, the soil, right? The pesticides that people use in the soil. And quite frankly, those things have such a long shelf life, so to speak, that it could be that you're not using pesticides on your lawn, but you know, your neighbors are getting into the air, but the soil has been there and those things are hard to break down. So you may actually still have pesticides and things in your soil from decades ago. Although, you know, the organic regulations specify 3 years, right? You have to have been using organic methods for 3 years to be certified, because otherwise there's definitely, but even beyond that, there are some things. There's place in the workplace, as Rich learned about, you know, from being in this environment for like, what, 30, 40 years of working in a place where there's constant exposure to toxins. But then what else? Your body produces toxins, right? There's endotoxins that are produced when your body's metabolizing. Poor old mitochondria, right? They're like your energy source. Yes, they produce more mitochondria than most other things. And your adrenals produce more toxins than anything else. So as we're working through metabolic processes, there's metabolic waste products. And so we need to keep all those elimination channels open. So that's my little spiel before we get into what I've put together in the modules and all that kind of stuff. But it's really important to realize that we are all taxing our detoxification systems, and we need to keep them open and able to function on a regular basis, right?
Mm-hmm. Rita Marie, I'm sorry I'm late. Are we talking about detoxification today?
Yes. So I'll show you where it is on the site. It's the sixth one. And we're going to go through that. Okay. So any specific like requests that you want to make sure that I cover, or questions that you have coming into this where I can make sure that I cover it or show you where it's detailed? Yeah, Jenny.
I've seen a lot of stuff lately about the importance of your lymphatic system to drain the toxins, but that even things as simple as dry brushing the wrong direction doesn't, it kind of defeats the perfect purpose if you don't go the right way. And also the idea that I don't even know where I hear this stuff. Sometimes I'll get an email, read, you know, part of it, and then it kind of sticks. And the whole idea that the order in which you detoxify is very important. And sometimes you can do all you want, but if you haven't kind of cleared the lower channels in the process, then you're just basically storing everything. So that's what
Those are good questions. And I think I'm just going to throw some stuff out there. I mentioned this at the beginning. It's like detoxification, the term has gotten a bad rap in mainstream, let's just say, literature, because it's like, oh, it's just buy this product. This is the best detoxification. Oh, and you have to have these five products and do them in the right order in order for you to get detoxification or whatever. And in reality, we're doing the detoxification all the time. And yeah, lymph question, right? Our lymph flows and it pulls the drains toxins away. So from the head, we go down. From the rest of the body, we go up. It's really simple. It's not rocket science, right? Because the drainage points are up here, right? And so we're pushing towards those. Get it into the lymphatic ducts in here, down towards it. That's all you have to know. It's not rocket science, right? And you're not going to kill yourself if you go the wrong direction. It may not be as effective, but you're not going to suddenly implode because you rushed in the wrong direction, right? And I mean this with all respect for a lot of the places where you get information from, but there's a lot of fear tactics that are thrown in with marketing. And when we're trying to sell products, which is why I don't sell products. I don't want to sell products. I want to sell process. I want to sell empowerment. I want to sell, you know, what you, and I hate even the word sell, but I want to offer you ways that you can empower yourself to be healthy. Do we need products? Sure. The world's, you know, the soils are depleted. There's certain times we need products. Absolutely. But the point is, if you've got this fancy schmancy detox system that has five different products and there's five different stages and you have to do them in the right order, it creates this like, okay, I better do that. I better do theirs because I don't know if anybody else's is going to work because maybe it's in the wrong order, right? So that's why I like to teach you guys how things actually work, so you can make informed decisions, because I can't evaluate every product out there, every program out there. But what I do know is I know enough about how things are supposed to work that I can evaluate them. And that's the knowledge I want to impart to you. Yeah.
The thing that I was thinking of is not so much product order, but that I've heard how like you can do all kinds of stuff to help, let's say your adrenals, but if your liver isn't clear first and the adrenals that, you know, or toxins that come out of one part of your body just stick someplace else.
Yeah. So that's a good point because your adrenals, like I said, and the mitochondria produce a lot of toxins, right? So if you're working really hard on fixing those things up and making your mitochondria work better, but your liver is congested, you will not be able to detoxify those wastes that they produce. Same thing with the gut. If you're working on an anti-candida protocol, for example, or an antibacterial protocol for your gut, those bugs have in their cell walls all these toxins. And when you kill them, guess what? We release those toxins. And if the liver is backed up, or, you know, your skin is backed up, or you're not pooping right regularly, those things are just going to get recycled and put more strain on the liver. Now, do we ever know what the right order is? Do we have a, you know, one of the Star Trek devices where we go, oh, look right there, that's where we have to start? We don't. We do educated guesses about that. And yeah, cleaning, keeping the liver clear. But sometimes if you do a severe detoxification that's affecting the liver, it can cause problems elsewhere. Because if the skin is not, you know, it's loaded with, like, you're putting oils, like, what's that oil kind of thing? Like, I don't mean castor oil. There's a word for it. Mineral oil on your skin, right? Or you're clogging your skin up with products that are not allowing it to breathe, or you're using antiperspirant instead of just a regular deodorant, and you're not allowing the toxins out, then that's going to back up, you know, and the same thing with your gut. So I would say that probably keeping the organs of elimination open before you decide to do any kind of major, you know, work on something else is a good thing to do. Right. That's why if you look at my pyramid, it's blood sugar and gut, right? You got to get those things balanced, or the rest of it won't get balanced. And when I actually speak about it, and I should update my thing, I speak about it being digestion and detox being at the base, right? Because we really have to make sure all of that is open. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sarah, and then Reg.
Can you explain why, if it's short, if it's too long, we can do it some other time, but why is it? Is it often recommended that you do like 3 to 4 liver cleanses a year for many years, like 7, 8, 9 years?
Yeah. So you're talking like the liver flush, like what, right. Because yeah. What happens is, like, if you're 12 years old, you don't have to do liver flushes 8 times a year, unless you've had a really, really rough life. Right. But if you're 60s, you know, you've had a long period of time of not knowing how to do this right. Like, you didn't learn this in grade school, or parents didn't teach you this. The doctors that you saw back when you were a kid never taught you about proper diet, proper product use, avoiding exposure to toxins. So you've got a buildup of things. And the liver cleanse is the one that Isabel does is different than doing a detox program that's helping to enhance your liver's enzymes and ability to clear toxins. It's really going in and getting rid of the sludge. And over time, not having the right balance, right, and not taking care of yourself properly, builds up sludge in the liver that can cause, you know, the dumping of little stones that then get lodged in the gallbladder, and then can cause problems where you need to have your gallbladder released. So when you do a cleanse like the one that Isabel does, like, I don't do it 3 times a year. I started doing those things after I'd been living like really clean for 30 years. So I hardly, you know, a few little bile things or whatever, but I don't see a huge release like a lot of people describe. But I do it once a year to keep myself maintained, because as clean as I choose to be in my practices, I can't avoid all of it. Right? So I do it once a year. But if you've led a lifestyle that has led that up, yeah, many years in a row of doing that. Now, is that the only way? Does everybody have to do a liver flush like that? No, it speeds up the process. So a lot of these things we do, like with the lymph brushing and all this stuff, we are speeding up the process. Like Rich, when Janet gave you that really elaborate detox program, you know, you were still in the midst of it. So the first thing we do for detox is reduce the toxic load. Rich couldn't reduce his toxic load. He was working. He needed to support himself, had 3 more years or 2 more years, whatever it was, before I was going to say graduation, but before retirement, but it is a graduation, right? It is a graduation. But before that, so it was like, okay, what do we do to enhance his ability to release these things, you know? So that's really where it stands. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question? Yeah,
it does. And also, you know, only just so much is going to come out per liver cleanse anyway.
You can't, right? If you're trying to clean up, you know, multiple decades of dirt on your house and you spray it with a hose, there's just so much that comes off. And then you have to go in there and then maybe you're using some brushes and then maybe you're going in there and using bleach or some sort of strong chemicals because it's a buildup. Whereas if, you know, you have a brand new house and a year later, it's a little dirty, you go and all the dirt comes off, right? So the depth of the toxicity and the length of time that the toxicity has been there will determine, and your genes, right? If you've got this beautiful green liver detox pathway panel on your genetics, it's like, eh, you know, you don't have as much issue. If you have a lot of yellows and reds there, then there's going to be more of a slowdown and a buildup. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Rich, what was your question?
To add on what Jenny was saying, in the past, I've actually bought Dr. Schultz's detox program where he talks about, he's got three different programs. It's the kidney, the liver, and of course, the lower bowels, the bowels.
The three main organs of elimination. The only thing left is skin, so, sweat.
He would talk about, you know, do the bowel first, you know, get that cleaned out first, and then progressively move up to the kidneys. And then the liver was the last one to do, for the standpoint of sequencing.
And that's interesting, right? Because, you know, everybody has their different take on it. So, and you can biochemically and physiologically explain why one order would work and then explain why the other order would work. So if the bowels are the final exit point, and you don't clean them out and you're working on the liver's working hard to detoxify, and everything gets recycled and your poor liver is like, I saw you before. What are you doing back here again? Right? Because it's working hard. So that makes sense. You can look at it the other way. You can say, okay, let's do the liver first because the liver is going to be detoxified. You want to make sure it's working really well before we have the other organs. But on the other hand, well, if your kidneys aren't working to pee it out, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to recycle, and the same thing with the gut. So that's why I don't think the order is as important as making sure. You got to make sure if you're doing a detox, make sure your bowels are open, whatever that means, whether it means doing an enema every day or whether it means taking some sort of laxative, you know, herbal laxative to keep the bowels moving. Like if I do a 5-day fast, like a water fast, I always find that by the end, it's like, there's no bowel movements happening because there's no food going in to push things along. Does that mean my colon is empty? No, it doesn't. It just doesn't have the impetus and nothing's there pushing it. So by the day 4 or 5, I'll take like a, you know, herbal kind of the things that some of the stuff that Isabel uses in her cleanse, or the Health Force Nutritionals has a really nice colon clear. And I just do those. They're gentle. They don't just like cause you to like spasm and release stuff like some of these products do, but I'll do that right at the end. Cause I found that I would do this great detox. And then at the end you get stopped up and it takes a few days because you're just eating little baby food amounts for the first few days. And then you have this backup and it's like, well, is that defeating the purpose? Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, you know, it's just important that we do it and that we, you know, we start with the reduce the toxic load. And I know lots of people who are like, oh, they just go and they do their annual trip to a retreat. And I went to a retreat in Costa Rica where they did fasting and juicing and raw foods. And it was wonderful. It was right by the beach and I was in heaven, but there were these guys there and every day you're doing colonics, they're like colonics, but you self do them. It's this Kalima. It's a Kalima board and all this. And so you go into this little room and you do your thing and you do that twice a day and you're eating all this great food and then you're fasting. And these guys are talking about how they're going to stop at the pizza place and get pizza and beer on their way back home. Oh, this is great place. And I was like, what? He goes, we just come here once a year. We get cleaned out and then we go back and do our life. That's not a good detox regime, right? That's not what we want. We want to be doing everyday detox, right? Which is those things like exercise that we should be doing anyway, right? Maybe rebounding, maybe lymphatic brushing. I don't do that every day, but I sauna, you know, and I do these periodically to keep the everyday detox, but they reduce the toxic load comes first, right? I have to get rid of the toxic cosmetics and the toxic air fresheners. I just like nearly just like faint when I go into some people's homes. I haven't done that in over a year, but I go into people's homes and they're not conscious and they're not aware. And you're like, what is that? And my body is so fine tuned to sense those things, right? If somebody sprays, even I came downstairs yesterday, I said, what did you spray? What did you use for cleaning? So I said, what? But I think he has some sort of hand sanitizer that he thinks is, and it may be, but it has something in it that I go, it's not quite right. It just doesn't seem quite right. So I'm trying to find it so I can throw it away. But anyway, but you get fine tuned to it after a while. But if you're exposed to it every day, like think of smokers. First time they smoked a cigarette, they weren't just like going, oh, this is cool. Everybody chokes the first time they smoke a cigarette, right? Or drink alcohol or whatever. And then your body gets used to it. And that's not because it's okay for you now. It's because your defenses are just like, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm tired. This is too much. And they just retire. And then instead of them coughing out these toxins or sneezing them away, they're getting into different organs and stored there. And that's where the damage happens. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Any other questions before we kind of show you what resources I have for you? This is what these calls are for. It's not just for me to go on the site and show you all the stuff. It's really to enhance your understanding of these topics. Okay. And I know that detox, when I first started my detox, my green cleanse, which I'm going to show you in a minute, my green cleanse, it was 2008. And I started this green cleanse. We had like 45 people do it. And it was just, it's evolved a lot since then. But nobody really understood. Like there weren't, like everybody and their brother has a detox program online right now. People graduate from whatever school they go to and now they've created a new detox program, right? There's just tons of them out there, but there weren't, right? And so when I put it out there, it was like unique. It was different. It was, you know, and people were just starting to get into the health bandwagon. So anyway, okay, we ready?
Who else? I got one more question, Dr. Reed.
Yeah, sure.
I have these 40-foot hemlock trees, evergreen trees along one border on the north side of my house. And about 5 years ago, there was a particular Japanese beetle that was going around that was actually destroying the trees. Mm. And the solution was pesticide, where they come in and they'll spray. They come up with the high pressure nozzles with pesticide in the fluid, and they'll go up, you know, 50 feet and of course just drench down the tree.
And then you're breathing it.
Well, that's what I was trying to think. You know, when they do it, you know, I'm obviously staying away from it. The question, you know, and it does, I do notice it does harden on the actual needles. So it's not like I'm going to say it's into like a vapor or something. It's pretty mm-hmm. solidified, but I had to do it because I was going to lose them, because there was a town just south of us, because this was coming up from the south, and it was wiping them out. People were, you know, not in tune to it yeah. soon enough. And so I got word of it from one of my neighbors next door. It has a very similar surrounding of hemlock trees. And he mentioned to me, you better do that if you want these things alive, because I noticed you look underneath the needles of the tree and you saw these little tiny white pellets, beetles by the bazillion.
Wow.
And so I had to do that. I started that 5 years ago. And finally, because I also noticed my needles were dropping like crazy and I could actually see through. But then obviously in the last 5 years, less and less damage, and they're starting to grow back now. So my question to you, I guess, is,
what's the alternative?
What's the alternative? And I actually searched and I couldn't
find any like natural approach to hemlock.
There was nothing, right?
Beetles, these beetles. Yeah. I don't know what that is. I mean, it's a matter of, I'm not the expert in all the different, you know, natural solutions, you know, to alternatives to pesticides. There are some organic farming kind of sites and those sorts of people who might find it. There was somebody you were studying with, Jenny, that was, didn't you have a class from somebody who did, like, no, maybe it wasn't you, somebody that was taking a class from somebody who taught about organic growing and stuff like that.
Yeah, but just gardening.
just gardening, not necessarily just
gardening. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If they were,
but I know Rich, what you're talking about, the Japanese pine needle has wiped out forests in Canada.
Yeah. So it's a matter of like, I think, you know, researching to see if there is anything. The other alternatives, if that's the only way to do it, is to make sure that you're not home when they're doing it. How far away from the house is it?
It's probably 40 feet.
40 feet, yeah. So, you know, it's when they're doing it, do you see vapors in the air? Do you see the sprays?
No, I must admit, I watched it one time. It's pretty heavy. It's very, it looks like water coming up. And they go right up to the top of the tree. And then you can see, obviously, it's drenching down.
Yeah. I mean, it may not vaporize, which is good, right?
Right.
But there's a lot of invisible stuff that we don't see, right?
Correct.
Yeah, if you spray your lawn, you don't see it in the air. It's on your lawn. So I would say stay far away from it. Yeah. I would say help and support your body when you're doing it, just in case some of it gets in the air. And don't go out there for a few days. Don't go out near them for a few days. And take extra vitamin C, cilantro, chlorella, sea vegetables, things that can pull that stuff out. You might even try something like the modified citrus pectin, because it'll bind to whatever is going through you and pull it out, so it doesn't recycle through your liver. So that's what I would make sure you do.
All right. That's good. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Anything else before we go? I'm going to share my screen. See if I can find where I was shared. Let me go here. Okay. So here we go. It's this page right here. Why wasn't I seeing that on the share thing? Okay. So share screen. There it is. Okay. So this is where you'll find it. You probably already know this because we've done this before. It's on the page for This is Detoxification, and you find it from the Elite modules on the pages. And it's basically, you know, talking about the detoxification pathways. So I started this process with the green cleanse, right? So if you go to getting started, I think it talks about the order to do it in. And you don't have to do a green cleanse at the beginning of doing a detoxification, but I put it there because I wanted to take people through in an order that was, so that was from simple to deeper, right? And a green cleanse is just, you know, a week of drinking greens in whatever way you like and avoiding a lot of other things. And there's emotional detox and all that. So for those of you who's not done the green cleanse, have all of you done the green cleanse? Yeah. Yeah, I think you've all done the green cleanse. Anya, I don't know about you, if you've done it. You might have done it with Lynn because she was your coach and she's a big green cleanse fan. So we're basically going to get you started, and this takes you into that whole green cleanse. And it's 3 weeks. 1 week is a prep week. 1 week is the cleanse week. And then there's an escape week, you know, a transition back out type of week. So that's what I always recommend when you're doing any kind of cleansing, that you ease yourself in, you do it, and then you ease yourself out. So this is a piece I wanted you to make sure that you're aware of. Like, you got to clean up your environment. I think most of you have been around a while and you get it. You know how to, clean up your environment, right? So it's learn how to minimize your toxic exposure. So we have this nice downloadable document that talks about environmental cleanup, like why is it important and what chemicals and all. And it's a pretty long document. It's 19 pages. It's probably taken from a talk that I did, so it's a really good in-depth look at that. And then this is where you can actually go through your products. And if you haven't done this already, it's a good thing to do. I gave you some resources, but I give you my products that contain toxic ingredients, and, you know, just pick up things and start to read it. And if you're not sure of an ingredient, like, well, how do you pronounce that? I don't know what it is. You can go to any one of these sites. The Environmental Working Group is another place you can do it. And you can learn if it's toxic. Like, some things that you can't pronounce are not really that toxic, but other things are very toxic. So I give you a list of all these different toxic chemicals that you can look for in your products. it's not 100% complete. I'm sure there's others, but these are ways that if you see something, you go, what is K-joic acid? I never heard of that before, right? And then you can look here and go, oh, that's considered a toxic chemical. And then there's cosmetics, right? And I took this, I think this was inspired by one of those books on how to make your own cosmetics and skincare products. But these are things that are actually in our, you know, why do we have propylene glycol, which is antifreeze? Why is that in our skincare products? It's even in some supplements. I mean, it's crazy making. It's in vaccines. It's in a lot of things. And these are not healthy things to have on your body or in your body. So that's what we have there for you. And then, if you are on a lot of these, which I think most of you already eased out of a lot of this stuff, but if you find that there's a bunch of stuff, if you're not, you know, wanting to just go do it all at the same time, just ease out, right? Pick an item a week that you're going to phase out and replace, and then another one, and then another one. And then air filters. I can't emphasize that enough. So Rich, during the time when they're doing that, just in case that stuff is coming through, first of all, I keep your windows closed when they're doing that for sure. But, you know, think you're going to open the door, he goes to the door, the cat goes in and out, whatever might be the reason, is that an air filter is really good. And I'll tell you about, I have an air filter that Air Doctor sent me. They sent it to me to evaluate. And they said, it's really great because if the particulate in the air goes up, it increases its intensity. And if it goes down, well, one day last week, all of a sudden, the middle of the night, we got woken up by the air filter. My husband thought it was broken. I went, no, there's something in the air. There is some kind of particulate it's picking up. And it turns out that was when the West Texas dust blew in. And it's this really toxic, filthy dust thing that our air was disgusting the next day. I was sneezing the whole day and I thought I was getting sick. And I realized, oh, it's the West Texas dust. My air filter picked it up. So anytime now I hear my air filter go up higher, I'm like, okay, where's that coming from? Is it particulate in my house? Did somebody burning something in the kitchen, or is it coming in through the window? And then I close my windows. I usually keep my windows open. But keep getting fresh air for at least 20 minutes. It could be the dead of winter and it's 0 degrees out. But if you just open a crack just to get some recycling of your air, even the summer, if it's so hot, it's just open it for a little bit, let the air cycle in there. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you go away, you close up your house, depending on how old your house is, and you come back, do you ever notice that there's like almost like a paint smell in the air, or there's a top? Yeah, that's because the outgassing from your painted walls, your carpeting, your flooring, all of that's outgassing. And with the windows shut, it's just recycling. When you open the windows, it goes out, and you're not going to notice that when you're just hanging out on a daily basis. So that's a really important piece of it. And then that was progress journals. We don't do those anymore. So So we'll go back. Questions on that? Make sense?
What kind of air filter do you use?
Well, this one is the Air Doctor. And I really do recommend it. It's big, but I like the fact that it will increase in intensity when there's particulate in the air, and it goes down again when it's clean. Oh. It kind of just is like that little barometer for you, so to speak.
Okay.
And there's a lot of folks that, you know, you'll see periodically. I think Ocean Robbins will run a special on it, and various and sundry places. They wanted me to, you know, to start to do that. And I just couldn't deal with adding one more thing. So I just tell people about it. Go find it somewhere else. I don't need it to be a revenue stream for me, because I don't do it. Maybe someday I'll change my mind. All right. So part three is emotional detox. And this is where most of us need work, right? This is where it's easy to let go of toxic chemicals in the food and the air and the water and the cosmetics. Those toxic emotions, man, they come up and bite you on the butt, right? They really do, right? Even when we don't even think we're in that, but the nervous system has got this pattern of every time this happens, I go into this loop. And it's really important that we let go of it. So I created you a video here, and you can watch the video. There's slides for it. I'll show you what's in there. And it's really a matter of, if we're going to detox, we got to detox people out of our lives sometimes, right? Or just limit your exposure if they happen to be family members and you can't just eliminate them from your lives, but you eliminate your exposure. You do things to protect yourself before you get on a call or have a visit with somebody who's a toxic person and who knows people who are toxic, right? And they're spewing out negativity, and it's really a lot of work. It's much easier to say no thank you to the pizza than to say no thank you to the environment that they create with their toxic energy. And we know by studying HeartMath, they've done all kinds of really technical studies where they measure the fields around people. And you can actually measure where the heart rate variability and all these different emotional and energetic fields around people. And it's a good 3 feet, if not 6 feet from you. So at least if you're with those relatives, sit and do the social distancing thing and sit at the other end of the room so you don't pick it up quite as much. But if, I don't know about you, but I've had this experience a lot where you walk into a room and suddenly you feel like, oh, this doesn't feel good. And other times you walk into a room and it's like, oh, joyful, and it feels really good. Mm-hmm. That's not your imagination. That's you tuning into the energy of the emotions, and emotions are energy. Right? They're all energy. When you have negative emotions in your body, they interfere with detoxification pathways. They create toxins in and of themselves, right? We know that cortisol, elevated levels of cortisol, can create toxins in the environment. So with this, I always like to, if you feel frustrated, upset, angry, or hurt, and you just want to stop. So you reach for a candy bar, ice cream, chocolate chip cookies, or whatever happens to be closest at the moment. Who's ever done that? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Cause you feel, make it stop. Just give me the chocolate. Just give me the whatever. And that's negative. So the negativity is negative in your body, the energy of it, but then the actions that those negative emotions cause you. So this was a emotional eating presentation I did. I mean, and it did begin innocently because, you know, when you were three and you fell down and scraped your knee, or you were upset because somebody took your toy, what did the well-meaning adults in your life do? They tried to shut you up basically by giving you some kind of sweet, and we get addicted to it. And that's what we learn, is that don't feel these emotions. Just let's get rid of them with food. And if you've, I know a few people who have not done that. Very few people. Most people have had at least that experience. For some, it's a more serious addiction, basically. And it becomes a driving factor in their life. And you like go to the food over and above other things. And for others, it's just something that you do every now and then. But these are the emotions. And any of these, we all get angry at some point. Like this last year, it was very polarizing, right? There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of, this is horrible. This is terrible. And people are, what are they doing? Sitting on the couch and plugging away at soft drinks and pizza, right? To try to make that go away. And what does that do? Well, in this particular case, because we're talking an immune system assault, it makes them more vulnerable, right? So it's really like tuning in and feeling, and it's hard to feel those emotions, right? And that's why we go to food or addictions of some sort to get rid of those emotions, right? But when you can feel it and you can get in touch with, why am I feeling shame right now? Well, she just said something and it reminded me when I was five and my mother and aunt did whatever, and I felt that way, and it brings that up. And when you can get in touch with it, you can release it. I'm going to be bringing in a friend of mine who's a psychologist, and she wrote a book called 90 Seconds to a Life You Love. And she and I just spoke over the weekend about getting her in to do a talk, because she has this process. She said, you know, anxiety, depression, shame, all of these feelings, if you can just feel them in 90 second bursts, you'll pass through it. And they won't come back as strong. And eventually you deal with it. She's amazing. I've seen her in action in groups and helping people to go through these processes. It's really worth it. I listened to it on audiobook. And then I had something that was bothering me that I hadn't talked about. Something that somebody had said to me that I just was really upset about, but I didn't want to talk about it because I thought they would think I was, you know, being, you know, that feeling. Like, you're just a baby. You're just... So I used her process, and I process through that knowing I was able to talk to that person, right? In a way that was calm and really cleared the air between us. So well worth it. But we want to get rid of them, but you're never going to get rid of all these feelings, right? They're going to come up. You got to learn to feel them and then let them go. Because if you have anger that's festering and it's building up in your body, that's creating toxicity in your body, right? And if you could just feel it, let it go and move on, it's going to decrease the toxic load. Does that make sense? And then I have in here the whole, you know, the process, which you can go through and listen to on how to identify if emotional eating is an issue and then how to deal with it. What else did I have in here? I think this whole thing is on emotional eating. Yeah. And this whole thing is on emotional eating. So I encourage you to watch the video, and it's not that long. I don't think it's like 20 minutes. 23 minutes, right? And just really, if you're dealing with this, it's a good idea. Okay. There's a transcript there too, if you prefer to read it. Okay. Now, how do you transform toxic emotions? Who here has been through, I know several of you have been through a session with Laura or Kimberly, right? And that transpersonal energy, and or either you've worked with somebody like you've worked with Janet, is that when they come up, you know, they have you look at where in your body it's stuck. And a lot of times we don't have that language around it. We just feel something somewhere and we think, oh, I have something wrong with my heart or my stomach or my head, right? But it could be this emotion that's an energy of the emotion that's not getting out. And when you learn to identify it and then strategies to move it, it really helpful. So what we have in here is a whole document. It's transcribed from a talk on emotional detox and transforming those things. Okay. So that's a good resource for you. I think next week, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's next week or the week after, we have Kimberly or it might be Kimberly. No, I think it's just Kimberly because Laura's in India and isn't sure what her network connection is going to be, but is going to come in and do a really good working topic on emotional detox and trauma. You know, trauma is not just physical to the body. There's emotional traumas that get lodged in our bodies. And she's going to take us through a process on that. So that'll be good. Here's a little talk I did. How long is that?
Hello.
Little short. It's not that short, 27 minutes. And it's a transcript about the relationship between detoxification and emotions. So that's a good resource for you. I love this process, the emotional ladder. Who's remembers or has any experience with the emotional ladder? Mm. I love this process. I learned it from Abraham Hicks. And they basically have this list of emotions. Let me move this up so you can see it. That at the top are those ones that we're all striving for, right? Bliss, joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation. That's where we want to live, right? We all can strive to live there all the time, but life gets in the way, right? So we have these other emotions. At the very bottom is fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness, right? We have this somber sense and we don't really feel like we have anything to do with it. So at any point when something comes up, what's helpful is to help yourself move up the emotional ladder. You're not going to go from 22 to 1 in one shot. If you do, you're a saint, you know. I don't know how anybody would do that. But if you can just move yourself up a couple of notches, especially if there's a situation that comes up a lot, like whenever I'm around this person, I feel such and such a way. Or whenever my partner doesn't take out the garbage, I go ballistic and get angry and get frustrated. Wherever it is, you're stuck somewhere. So if you've always gotten angry and started yelling and screaming at your partner for not taking out the garbage, the next time he or she doesn't take out the garbage, what are you going to do? You're going to start screaming and yelling because that's where you left it with that situation. And so the idea here is that you take a situation and you try to move it up a couple of notches. One notch even, so that the next time you revisit it, you're not quite so low on the emotional scale. And I had a thing like that happen, and it was specifically the garbage. And it was my husband is always so good about taking, taking care of garbage and stuff around the house, but he had been getting, anyway, I'll share where it was. So he didn't take out the garbage, and I heard the garbage truck go by, and I know that they're not going to be around for a week, and the garbage was overflowing. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Why did he do it? Where is he? Oh, he's always out. He's always out doing this. He's always out doing that. He's not here to take care of this. I don't have time to do this. And I just went through and told myself this whole story. So I was angry. And then I stopped and I said, you know, it's really odd for him to not take out the garbage, right? And this has happened. This is the second time this has happened, you know, recently, or the third time or whatever. And I was feeling kind of discouraged, you know, and all that stuff I was saying was discouragement. I was discouraged. Like, now I have to take out the garbage. Like, I don't want to have to take out the garbage, and blaming him. And then I moved to, he usually does this. He usually takes out the garbage. I wonder what's wrong. Wait, I went to worry. I went to, maybe something's going on with his memory. Maybe something's happening for him. And then I brought it up to optimism. No, I didn't bring it that far up. I was able to like tell myself stories to bring it up. Like, oh, maybe he's, well, I talked to him about that. Maybe he'll talk to that. Oh, I had found a memory improvement class or whatever. And I said, maybe he'll do that. That would be really cool. Right. And I just brought myself up step by step by step. And it's hard to remember because it's been years, but I was able to bring myself up like 3 or 4 steps. And after that, if he didn't take out the garbage, I'd go right to, are you okay? Like, is everything okay with you? Instead of like, I'm gonna beat him up. Why did he do that to me? Right. So anyway, that's the thing you can do. And you can just tell yourself a slightly different story and see if you could bring yourself up a notch. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I love this process. And I give you a description of it here. Oh, here's the example. You can read my example. Yeah, read it. It's a good one. It's a good story. All right. And then there's the transforming stress. Most of you have done that. And then that's it for the emotional detox. So any questions about the emotional detox? Are there a few tips in here you think you can learn to, who has that kind of thing? Like certain people trigger, or their behaviors in certain way trigger certain like, right? Yeah. I mean, we all have had that. My mother triggered in me, like I felt like I was a 2-year-old. No matter how old I was, my mother would make me feel like I was 2. I was incompetent. I was stupid. Was it what she was saying? Or was it what I was reading into what she was saying? We'll never know, right? But there's those kinds of things. Like one of our clients a few years back in ERC had her mother, she just didn't like to go visit her mother because her mother, same thing. She made her feel like everything was wrong. And she was able to pull herself through this process, through doing her heart map and doing the emotional ladder, to being able to go and visit. She knew she had boundaries. She wasn't going to stay more than an hour. She wasn't going to stay for dinner because her mother would, of course, make fun of what she was eating because she wasn't eating, you know, the typical food she grew up on. So she created limits around it. Like, you can't not go visit your mother, right? But you can create a safe space for yourself so it doesn't put you into that place. Okay, let's go back.
No, a comment on that is, I remember being in a relationship where I was in probably the lower third of the ladder there all the time with this person. And then somebody finally woke me up, said, hey, you know, she's not good to be around because of all the negative things, the negative approaches, always bringing up just the worst of everybody and anything. So someone had to wake me up to the point where you've got to get out, get away from that relationship, which
you,
I did. And
you're not alone in that. Like, so many people are in that situation, but you always think, oh, it's just me. It's not her. It's, you know, she's a nice person. What's wrong with me? Why don't, and then you suddenly need somebody to say, no, she's not a nice person. You know, maybe she needs help, but you don't have to be the one to help her.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. We can't take on other people's psychoses and neuroses and all that and try to fix them and say, oh, they have all this good stuff underneath it. like, it's just not worth it. And I know people have stayed in relationships for 20 years until they woke up and realized it wasn't going to change. The only way for it to change was to be out of it. Right. Yeah. And I mean, we all have partners that have little, and we have those kinds of things too, by the way, that they see in us, like irritating habits or things. Nobody's going to be perfect. But it's when it's that constant like negativity and they're putting you down and they're putting other people down. I have relatives that are like that, that I can't be around them very long because everything's negative and everything's victim mode and poor me and all. We don't want to be around that kind of energy because it brings you down. You want to be in your ultimate healing potential, right? Yeah. Like I said, that's the hardest one.
I think I've been in circumstances too, where I notice a person behaves in that kind of negative way only with me. Like we could be in a room and they walk in the room and I'll watch them interact with everybody. And it's like, who are you? You're so pleasant and how great. And then, but if it's me by myself, it's just a dump every time I see them. It's, they come in and it's just always a long laundry list of everything that is bad. And yeah, it's.
That's a tough one, but here's the thing. And I would it's a tough one. You see that a lot with kids, right? I'll see my kids when they were, I'll say, who are those kids? They're perfectly behaved. They're polite. They're this, they come home and they dump. It's that they are, there's some emotional baggage that they're holding, something that's bothering them. And they're going to put on their happy face for everybody else. And as soon as they don't, they feel comfortable with you and they're going to dump. Right. And it's really, it is about them. It's not about you. It's not that you're a negative and you draw out the negative in anybody. It's just, they feel comfortable with you. Right. And I saw that with my kids. I'm like, oh my God, who was that kid? I want that kid back. Can we just go back to that person's house and, you know, have my kid transform again? But it's that they have this and you have to be a safe place. You happen to be a safe place. Now, if that happens occasionally and you're a safe place and that's fine, but if that's happening all the time, that's not a good relationship for you to be in. And it's not unsalvageable. I mean, I've seen things like that turn around, like somebody I know who worked with Laura Fine and was able to like learn why that stuff was happening and let go of it and became their beautiful, pleasant self. But that usually means that they're carrying hurt, right? And I'm not condoning behavior like that because a lot of people who abuse their kids, it's because they're carrying hurt. It doesn't condone the behavior, but it does explain it and they need help, right? They need to have their kids taken away from them until they get that piece under control. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. So skin, this is where your skin brushing comes in, Jenny. So skin is an emotion as a detox organ. While we have, did I click it? Oh, it's waiting. It's basically, right, we have to eliminate through the skin. And some people, when their gut is plugged and they can't eliminate through their gut, they break out, right? Some people just break out. And when you get their gut fixed, they don't break out anymore because the gut is the primary elimination channel. And the kidneys are another one. But if those things are backed up, you're going to eliminate through your skin and you're going to get rashes and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very common. And I've worked with a lot of little kids like that. And when you get their gut cleaned up and you get them moving their bowels, amazing things happen, right? Excuse me, I need to take some more water. Okay, so skin as a detox organ. And so this is probably another 30 minute or so, 34 minutes presentation. And watch it because there's a lot of good stuff in there and I'll show you what's in there overall. These are signs that you need to detox. Skin rashes are one of them, but headaches and things that are, it's the body trying to get rid of stuff and it's not doing it through its normal chains of reaction. And these are some of the external toxins. You guys know about these toxins in the home, toxins made inside your body. We talked about them before. All these different areas, your immune system, exercise. I just went for a run for an hour in 79 degrees. I was sweating. I was eliminating toxins, but I was producing them as well, right? The mitochondria are working harder and they produce oxidative byproducts. So we have to make sure. And with exercise, if you're the type that exercises and doesn't sweat, there's something going on there. You want to get yourself sweating, right? You want to teach your body how to sweat. Not always easy, but because a lot of times it's an adrenal problem when you can't sweat. So, but these are the areas that you get them from inside your body. And the health challenges, right? So it's not just, right, I have gut issues, but these joint pains and inflammatory conditions throughout the body, depression. I've seen people's depression get better when they take some probiotics and clean up their gut and clean up their food. In fact, I have somebody creating for me a chart we're going to use at Shine of the different probiotic organisms and the different neurotransmitters. So which organisms tend to affect specific neurotransmitters and then what SNPs and genetics are related to that. So I'm excited to have that done. The process of detoxification, like there's all these places. Yeah, we think about the liver, but skin, like I said, the kidneys, the colon, the lungs, right? We breathe out. And if you're someone who just and doesn't take deep breaths and deep exhalations, you're going to end up building up toxins, carbon dioxide and other vapor type of things, right? Breathing, stuff that's in the air that gets eliminated. Gut, skin. Okay, so this is the toxins enter through and then they exit through. So they enter through the same portals for the most part, except the kidneys that they exit through. The lungs, for sure, right? You breathe in toxic air, you're breathing it in, and then we eliminate. I love this. Has anybody remember this?
Oh, yeah.
This is a great video. Yeah. This is your liver. This is your liver on overdrive in the modern world. Like, just keep throwing those candies in there. Steps to optimize skin detoxification. So avoiding exposure, obviously, that's number one, but the high nutrient dense diets to help support it. High fiber to keep the bowels moving. Optimizing digestion, exercise, and that produces a lot of sweat. Water, right? The solution to pollution is dilution, right? Pure air, reduce stress, increase sweating, detox baths, clay herbs. And I have some pictures of some of the things you can do to improve the skin detoxification. And of course, eliminate foods that disrupt detox. You guys know all this stuff. Eliminate food allergens. And you may still have some of these in your system and not know it. And that's why we did the elimination diet just a couple of months ago. Limonene. Limonene is in the skin of citrus. And when you get like a citrus essential oil, whether it's grapefruit, orange, lemon, lime, tangerine, they have high levels of limonene and that helps to detoxify. So, you know, that's why I like you to put lemon oil in your water or lime or whatever other citrus oil in your water in the morning to help push things out. It's also a good, it actually physically breaks down things like fats and gobs. And so it's really helpful in the morning. The gut rejuvenator, that's what I was just talking about. There we go. All these ways to help your skin remove toxins. So there's the skin brushing, always up towards the lymphatic, not down. Not going to kill you. Like I said, if you go down, it's just not going to be as effective. Tongue cleaning. I have one of those tongue cleaners. I keep one in the bathroom up here. I keep one in the bathroom downstairs. I take one with me on, you know, and I morning and night, clean off your tongue. Don't let the debris fill up on the tongue. Saunas and steam baths. I try to do a sauna, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week. Winter more, summer less, just go figure, right? But I sit in there and I actually have a sauna that has a desk. It comes up to about right above my belly. And I can sit in there for hours. Because my heart and my brain are not getting fried, right? You have a regular sauna, you're up to 140 or 60 degrees. You don't want to be in there for very long, you know, half hour, maybe an hour at the most, because it's too much on your vital organs. Whereas the one I have, it just comes up to here. And I sit in there and I do my computer and I just sweat it away. You know, it's a really nice thing. Exercise, yoga, cleansing breaths. You might've heard the mudras they talk about. excellent for eliminating toxins. Detox baths, that could be as simple as throwing salts, you know, Himalayan crystal salts in there. It could be clay. There's a lot of things you can put in to just do detox baths. And then clay masks, Premier Research makes this clay that's got all kinds of therapeutic clays, and you put it on your face, you can put it on your hands, you can put it over areas where you're having to put over your liver, and you just let it go. So it doesn't have to be just your face. So those are all different ways. So there's your directions, right? You're going up, beep, 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 see? There's herbs, right? And milk thistle has been shown to be super effective at reducing oxidative byproducts in the liver. And so it can actually bring down some of the liver enzymes that get elevated. We didn't get that far, Jenny, but that's something I was going to talk to you about, is milk thistle, right? Because you have a couple of liver enzymes that are a little elevated, and it helps to just help the liver detoxify, right?
So I was gonna say, I have a bunch of the milk thistle, just as it shows there in the picture, that I would grind up and put in some of the stuff, these sprinkles. And I know, didn't you say in the past, I get confused, but that the milk thistle doesn't work great as a tea, like if you just, but it's best to actually eat the seed in some form?
Eat the seed or get a milk thistle extract. Whereas it's been extracted, usually if you get a milk thistle extract, it's been extracted in alcohol and then it's been dried and ground down. Yeah, milk thistle requires about 85% alcohol to extract.
Oh, wow.
And people say, oh, I'm drinking milk thistle tea. I'm like, well, enjoy. I hope you like it, because it's not going to do you any good, really, or much good, right? And you can get them as seeds like that. You can grind them up. I have a gamaccio recipe on the website where you can get that, and then you put some broccoli sprout powder or broccoli sprout seeds that you grind up, or broccoli seeds that you grind up, and it's just a really nice combo. And you add whatever cayenne or basil or whatever herbs you like.
Yeah, I usually have that made regularly. That's in my fridge that I sprinkle on everything.
Beautiful. That's good, because if you look at if you go onto the site, onto the kitchen, the Healing Kitchen show, there was a show we did a few years back where I showed how to make these little spice combinations that had different spices, but also different therapeutic effects using seeds. Oh. Yeah, it was a fun show. Dandelion, right? These are really good things, and you just use those in your food. It's really, really helpful. Turmeric, if you have an oxalate sensitivity, get curcumin extract. So those who have oxalate sensitivities, curcumin extract doesn't have the high oxalate content that turmeric does. But if you eat a lot of turmeric and you're very sensitive to oxalates, it may be a problem. And this artichoke, it's the leaves. So when I used to live in California, there is, you know, a certain time of year, you'd just drive down to the farms and people would be getting these huge stalks with all their artichokes on, and the leaves are actually very therapeutic for your liver. Not the eating the artichokes, unfortunately. They're tasty, but they're not going to do much for your liver. There's my 12 foods for skin detoxification. So if you are having some, and some of these you can eat and some of these you can make into pastes, right? You can make little poultices and put it on the skin. Foods that keep skin healthy, soothing herbs for the skin. These you would actually put on. We talked about these in the herbal therapeutics class, where you can actually go out and get plantain and you can grind it up and make a poultice for your skin, but you can also take it internally. Calendula, there's a lot of calendula lotions out there that you can get, or you can make your own. And yarrow. Yarrow is an astringent. So if you're, yarrow. If you have someplace that's bleeding, you can actually take some powdered yarrow or the leaves themselves crushed and put it on it. And it actually helps to stop the bleeding. So if you have a bad wound that is having difficulty shifting. And then some supplies, right? So Epsom salts, great in the bath, lavender oil or flowers. You can take these detox baths and put lavender oil and other oils in there that help you to detox. Eye pillows, right? Just there's so many nice ones that smell really good and have some really good essential oils and herbs in them. The skin brush. There's two different kinds. There's a slightly softer one that you can use on your face. If you, the bigger ones might be a little scratchy for the sensitive skin on your face. So there's these little ones that are a little easier to deal with. A yoga mat, because yoga is good for it, good walking shoes. So these are kind of a potpourri of supplies that will support you in your detox efforts. Questions?
Oh, let me think.
And you can watch the video. I probably missed a bunch of different things I wanted to tell you. So I just listed some of the things from there, like the foods and the tongue scraper and the dry skin brush. I think, what did I do here? I think it was just a... Oh, I think it was the same one. That should be changed. That shouldn't be. Yeah, it's all the same one. I'll go and change that. We had somebody that worked for us for a while that was, she would just repeat the same thing because instead of separating them, we had one thing. So it might be confusing, but here's the really nice summary of all the herbs that are good for the skin. And then here's the skin brushing and actually instructions for skin brushing. And then here's various Epsom salts and detox baths, then ideas for that. And then of course the saunas. I have this sauna. I ended up getting a different one, but this sauna I had for a long time, I really liked it. It was very portable. And whenever we used to do retreats, I would bring it to the retreat and set it up because it folds up into like a tent size container. So you can have that, the big ones. I wish I had room for one of those, but I don't. Mine, I don't have a picture of, but mine has, it's just a halfway, but I like the fact that it's a desk and I can multitask with it. Probably not the best, but, and then castor oil packs and how to do castor oil packs. Those of you who've done Isabel's process, you know how to do castor oil packs. The tongue scraping and how to do tongue scraping and exercise, yoga. So all the different ways that you can do the, and it's all in one document that you can print out and have handy. And that's it for skin. And then the part five is going deep. And you've seen a lot of the stuff from this one. I pull up these charts from this presentation when I'm doing the nutrigenomics, because it has all those really cool charts related to it. So detoxification, let me see if this is the one. Yeah. So this is the one that I show a lot when we're doing the nutrigenomics, where it's like, okay, phase one, right? The things that induce it, the things that support it. There's good old Lucy again. And then phase two, what's going on in phase two. And then for each of the phases of stage two, I have a chart. And when I've gone through your nutrigenomics with you, I've said, oh, look, you have some issues with methylation or glucuronidation, acetylation. Have a look at this chart. And I also have this set of slides, not this whole set, but just these sets with the liver detox are found on the nutrigenomics page to keep it all together. So there's all the things you can do to support the phases, right? The herbs. So some of these are repetitive, but you know what? We learn by repetition. So I recommend that you watch that. Let me see if there's anything else in here. It's mostly there. Okay, and then review the foods that disrupt, get rid of the ones that disrupt, do the ones that enhance, plan to do a 28-day deep tissue detox. We never put that in there. It's one thing that I've got to find my notes for and see if we can get in there. It was just basically a deeper detox, you know, to take you through, but it's not there yet.
The 28-day detox isn't in there yet?
Yeah, the 28-day detox. I put it together years ago, and then we had some staff changes, and the person that was working on it left, and I've asked other people to pick it up, and I think it's a little overwhelming to put that together. But it's basically taking you through a process of, you know, going through getting the gut cleared up, going through and, you know, supporting the liver pathways, and then doing, you know, something to... like eliminate the foods and, you know, then moving and transitioning out, but it's not there. And then what is this? The critical, this is, oh, from my radio show. Is that what this was? Yeah. It's from a radio show that I did on the role of detoxification in hormone balance. And there's a transcript for that as well. So that's all I have for you with detox. I hope you find this useful, helpful. Yeah. Good review. And then you can go deeper by watching some of the videos and listening to the audios. So now you know what's there. Any questions, comments? Yeah, Rich.
I noticed since I lost all my weight, I used to weigh 185 pounds and I'm down to 145. I noticed it takes me a lot more exercise to get to the sweating point. Now, is that because of the fact that I don't have quite the fat layer I used to have?
Yeah, I think it's a known thing that people who have excess fat tend to sweat more.
Okay. But it really takes me a long time to, it probably takes me a good 3/4 of an hour to 1 hour. Even when I dance for like 4 hours straight, I used to have to bring a change of clothes, 3 different shirts and have to change out because I'd get so soaked. And now I can go through an evening without even changing, which is kind of surprising.
Now, you're not sweating, or is it, if you notice that the sweat doesn't smell the way it used to as well?
No, I'm not getting the liquid.
You're just not getting the liquid. Here's what you may want to make sure you're doing, right? If you know you're going to be dancing for 4 hours, that you're really ultra hydrating before and during, because that could be that your body's trying to conserve that water.
No, I do. I probably drink, I take, let's see, 3 to 4 glasses, bottles I take in with me that I'm.
Okay, so let's see. If you're 140, let me just do some math calculation. If you're 140, let's say one, did you say 145, 140, something like that?
145 is good.
Yeah, okay. So then you divide by 2, that's 72 ounces. That's without sweating at all, right? And so if you're exercising for every 15 minutes of exercise, you probably need an extra 8 ounces. Right? So if you're exercising for an hour, that's an extra quart. If you're exercising for 4 hours, that's an extra 4 quarts.
Okay, I'm not doing that.
Right? So if your body gets in, and maybe it's not quite 4 quarts, but you get the idea that your body's going conserve, conserve, conserve. We don't have enough liquid to deal with that. Right? So you may try hydrating before you go in. Watch your salt intake. Make sure that you're not taking too much salt, because that'll hold on to the liquid and you won't sweat as much. Yeah.
I don't use salt, but you're right. I've got to watch some of my products. My food products may have a little more salt in it.
You know, it's good. Like celery is really good. That's what I just ate for lunch. It was a really big plate of celery with the guacamole, but it's a really good thing to do. But the natural, if you don't use salt, then you're probably not over salted. So that's probably not it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And adrenals. That's the other thing. If your adrenals are not, you know, fully functioning, you're going to hold on to your fluid. You're not going to let it go. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Have you had an adrenal test or a Dutch test done recently?
Not recently. I did the Dutch probably 12 months ago.
12 months ago. So that was before you retired.
Yes.
Yeah. And have you been acting on what you found there? Have you been doing adaptogens and C and whatever else showed up there?
Yeah. Much.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's worth doing it again to see if you're doing enough to support it. I mean, quite frankly, exercising 3 or 4 hours at a time is a stress on your body, right? And so I'm not saying not to do it. I'm just saying you may need to have extra support for doing that.
Yeah.
Extra calories. That's the biggest thing for you. It's like, it's hard enough to you to, you want to put on weight, but then you're exercising for 3 or 4 hours. It's like, it's dragging it all out.
Right.
Right. So you have to learn to get more calories in. So I would look at what are you eating? How much liquid are you taking in? Are there any things that would interfere with your hydration, like extra salt? And then, I would look at how do I get like an extra 600 calories a day? And it may not be easy if you're, you know, don't have the capacity, if it's not a fiber food, but it may be in more liquid type stuff.
Okay. More shakes.
More shakes. Yeah. Yeah. And even, God forbid I should say this, but oil, you know, MCT, coconut, flax, you know, don't anybody else listen, because we don't want, it's not best for everybody. But if you're thin and you're active and you're trying to put on weight and there's just so much you can eat, those are good. And just make sure they're all, you know, organic and cold pressed. And, you know, MCT is a good one. Coconut is good. Flax oil, which is the omega-3s. So that's where I would go with that as well. And it's easy enough to stick that into a shake or onto a salad or onto veggies, right? Without you feeling like fuller.
Avocado oil as well?
I think so, as long as it's clean, you know, as long as it's organic and cold processed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Lou, you have a beautiful background. Unmute yourself.
There we go. Hi. Yeah. I've been cleaning up the kitchen, so that's why I wasn't on video. But so I came outside. I'm at my mom's house. So taking her back with me for a week. So
nice.
She had a little incident and we were at the cardiologist today. They're putting a monitor on her. So I told her she was coming home with me because she lives alone.
Yeah.
She was fighting it. And he said, well, I kept saying, my house, I can walk to the hospital. It's 4 blocks away, 2 blocks this way, 2 blocks that way, you know? Oh, but it's not Prisma. I said, mother, Bev can get your records. It's fine.
Yeah. But the thing is that you're there. That's really more important than how close the hospital is that you're there. So if she has an issue, she's not going to be, you know, struggling and nobody's going to know that she had a problem. Right. You're there, you're monitoring her.
Yeah.
That's very wise.
And that's what he told her. So
good.
So we're heading home tomorrow. But good. Anyway,
how far away does she live?
She's 2 hours from me. Yeah. And I do have a brother that lives in town with her, but, and he's very good in emergency situations, but he still has a younger family and, you know, he's not over at her house every day checking on her.
Right. Right.
So my brother, who's 6 hours away, calls her every morning on the way to work and every afternoon on the way home from work.
Oh, sweet.
My husband calls her in the morning before I'm up and awake. So she's got people checking on her.
I need to talk to my kids. Like, I want to talk to my kids. Like every 2 weeks, I'll talk to one of my kids. No, my one kid lives locally, but still, we can go by before I have to talk to him. So that's really nice, mama taking care of.
Yeah. And she has, she's 90, but she has an amazing network. I mean, I'm sitting there in the room with her to keep her company in the den. And she's getting a phone call. I mean, 5 or 6 or 7 people a day are calling to ask her how she's doing.
Sweet.
That's so sweet.
And she's busy and living alone. That's really good.
Yeah. So,
I mean, wow. You don't hear that much, right? Usually by 90, they're living with relatives or in a nursing home.
So, and her parents lived to 96 and her grandmother lived to 101. So,
wow. So all you have to do is eat right, exercise, do the right things, and you got long and healthy life ahead of you, genetically anyway.
So hopefully on that side anyway. So, I mean, she's got plenty of health issues. I can't say that, but yes, she says she's going to be the most unhealthy person who lives the longest out of all of her friends.
Wow.
But anyway.
Did you have any questions you wanted to ask, or are you just saying hi?
I was just here. I've been listening the whole time.
Okay, good.
From the beginning.
Good.
But yeah, this is all familiar. I mean, I did the green program several times with you when you were leading it, back in the day when you would have your thyroid program and then your green program and then your adrenal program and then.
Yep. And you guys have access to all of them. It's just that there's no time in the schedule to actually do them live anymore because of now we have ERC and we have, you know,
all these different things.
Right. So. Right. Cool.
So wonderful information.
Thank you. I'm glad. And repetition is the key to success. I think that how many times have you heard whatever? The other day I heard, what's his name? Jack Canfield. Have you heard of Jack Canfield? Very famous you know, self-help and motivational type speaker. And he spoke at an event, that an online event that I was at over the weekend. And it was so inspiring. Like, so I was writing notes, like, I know this stuff. Why are you even writing notes? But it's just so about how you believe and how that comes across and how we have control over our own destiny by not that we just put it out there that this is going to happen and it happens, but when you really are positive and thinking forward that way and taking the right steps, that you get introduced to the right people and the right actions. And a lot of it is like going back to that emotional ladder, right? Where we get stuck in these negative emotions. Instead of saying, I can, we say, I don't know if I can, or I'll try, or whatever. And just so much, it was so inspiring to hear him speak. It was really inspiring.
I do have a question. Because when I was, I took all my genetic testing to the doctor's office with her when I took her on Friday, that not the cardiologist, but her general doctor. And, you know, my SNPs on the vitamin A, my SNPs on the B12 and the vitamin D. And so I pulled it up and I said, and this has three red vitamin A SNPs. So since
she's got something.
So one red came from my father and one red came from my mother. So if I've got the double red, and one came from mother, does that necessarily mean that she would have a double red?
No. She, you don't know what she is, right? She's either a red or she's a yellow, right? But she passed you on one gene. So she's got a snip for that. And dad has a snip for that. We can't say who has what. We can't say if you're red, then both of them have a gene. If you're yellow, then one of them has the gene. Now, it could be that both have it, but only one of them got passed to you, you know.
If I'm red, then she may either be red or she may be yellow.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, and fortunately, her regular doctor said she has worked with some functional doctors. Because I asked her, she went on and ran her test because her yearly exam was coming up in like 3 weeks. So she went on and ran the test and is doing the basic thyroid TSH, but none of the other ones. And so I said, well, I'm bringing her home. I'm going to go on and test those. So can I go through your website to?
Oh, yeah, just go to the runmylabs.com, find the thyroid panel.
Okay, and do the same thing.
Yeah, panel two, I think it is.
And would you check panel two? Because when I talked to, is it Susan there? Anyway, I noticed that the panel two didn't have, I'm thinking it didn't have both of the antibodies. There was something that was, and she said, oh, well, I usually run it because I thought it did. And I said, well, listed on the page, it looked like it didn't have it.
That's in there. There was another one that I saw that was missing that was in our original list, which was a couple of the extra blood sugar ones in the main panel. So the way we set it up, I'll share my screen so you guys can
see. Because I think she's had just been running it because I believe it's included in your big...
We'll make sure that they just set this up for us with the new panels because it was confusing with all the others. But $579, why is it that expensive? That's not what they told me it was going to be. TSH, free T3, free T4, thyroid pro, no, it has both.
It has okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this may be a new one since I talked to her.
Maybe she updated it. Yeah. So basically it was supposed to be set up so that the comprehensive had all the thyroid in it. Cause you're going to do thyroid as part of the comprehensive, but then we pulled the comprehensive thyroid out separately because you may want to just do the thyroid to check that up. And then we had a separate blood sugar that's more extensive than in there, but supposed to be in there are these three, the fructosamine and the C-peptide are more expensive and not really needed for a baseline, unless there's some reason, and then we would rerun it. And then this is just for menopause people. So that's not included in the first panel. Let me look.
Well, anyway, her doctor was saying that she thought vitamins would be good to know, but considering her age and all of her other, she's got polymyalgia as well as now some
definitely
heart problems.
The D, the definitely she needs the D.
Yeah. Well, and I've been giving her D. And so, and actually she, the seeking help, I gave her the drops. Of,
right, but you don't know how much to give her. And here's the mistake of,
well, I did very small. I didn't know. She's not taking the 20,000.
Right, but then it's not enough, right? So I'd
she
rather.
She tested 48.
Not enough.
So okay. I told her to go from 2 to 3 drops to start out with. But
yeah.
How much do you think she. So she was taking 2 drops, which were 2,000 IUs each. So that was 4,000. And then she was taking 2 drops of the D3 plus K2, which was another 1,000. So she had a total of 5,000.
5,000. Okay.
Per day. And so
you had her up it a little bit to like 2 more. So 7,000.
So yes, unless you think Wendy, she should go up to 10.
No. I would say 7 is probably good. If she's 46, it sounds like she's responding well, but just retest her in a couple of months just to make sure. Because the higher the D in the range, in the good range, the better it off it is. And a lot of times when people don't, they just guess, they're not giving enough because they don't want to go too much. And then that's not giving you the full effect on the thyroid, on the gut and all that. Yeah.
Well, she takes thyroid medication and has for years. And
So, I mean, you're not going to get her off thyroid medication.
No, I mean, she's 90, and that was kind of her doctor's opinion. She was sort of like, I work with functional, but you can test the thyroid, but I don't know how much good it's going to do.
It will, though. Here's the thing, because he doesn't know. When you test all of it, if you see that she has antibodies, there's stuff you're going to want to work on that's not related to the thyroid. That's related to, does she have heavy metals? Does she have a leaky gut? You can do some things to work on that. If she has T3 lower than T4, like in the range, like a conversion issue, that could be an issue where you help her supplement with Brazil nuts, selenium, right? So you do get great information from doing the full test.
Yeah, I sent her a baggie full of Brazil nuts, I guess, 2 weeks ago. And she's been eating 2 or 3 a day. So
good.
Yay.
Yeah, you've learned a lot. And I love the fact that you're learning a lot for yourself and then being able to help somebody else with it.
I also sent her some liposomal vitamin C too. So
lucky to have you, girl.
So D, A, liposomal vitamin C. Of course, she's got so much medication she's taking too with prednisone and all this other stuff, but.
Well, you know, you should set up a consult with Mihaela.
Okay.
Mihaela will go through her list of meds and tell you all the nutrients that you need to be concerned about them interfering with.
Okay.
She does that. And she just does it one-on-one with people. I think she did it with Joseph. Didn't she do it with Joseph? Yeah. 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 Because it's important. It's not like you're going to get off your meds. Like, you know, maybe someday you will. That's not our job. But for her, it's really looking at, they don't tell you that this depletes her zinc and this depletes her B12 and this depletes her whatever. And so she helps to identify those things.
And I know they put her on a statin. And what did you say the statins deplete?
CoQ10.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Right. So,
So I just had a quick question. Those blood tests that you just showed that when you shared screen, are those like brand new, like within the past week?
We just got them added there before, because they have their own tests. They have their own panels, and some of our panels were overlapping with theirs and it was confusing. And there were like 12 or 14 panels. So we just took one big comprehensive for somebody to start with. So when they come in and do the blood test, if they really want to get everything tested, they get everything there, and then they can redo, or they could just do sub patterns of it from his normal list. All right.
So I have some CoQ10 powder and I have CoQ10 and gel capsules that I got from Custom Biotics. And then I had gotten some CoQ10s from somebody else. It's just it's either a capsule or a pill. I forget now.
What is she more likely to take?
Well, she's really seeming to, the drops that I have from seeking help for the vitamins, you know, now that she's got the hang of just dropping them on your tongue, it's so easy to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel, because she's taking all these other pills, I feel like, if I mean is
There used to be a good CoQ10 liquid that Premier Research had, but they stopped it.
Okay.
But there, what you could do is you can save your little tincture bottles and you can have her put like whatever amount, you know, like say 7 days worth in a bottle of powder and then shake it up. Now, I don't know how well, whether it needs like lecithin or something to emulsify. I've never done it with CoQ10, but if the powder is kind of fatty. So if you have it, try it out. Just put it in water and see if it dissolves okay in the water, then you can actually make her her own little bottle of it.
Okay. I mean, and I certainly would enjoy that too.
Yeah. So check it out. Now, if it doesn't work, if it kind of is fatty and it floats, add a little bit of sunflower lecithin to it. And
I've got the powdered sunflower lecithin.
Yep. Perfect.
So you're saying put some powdered sunflower lecithin with the CoQ10.
First, just do the CoQ10. If the CoQ10 dissolves in the water, no problem, right?
With filtered water or distilled water.
Filtered or distilled, whatever, clean water, right?
Clean water.
And then shake it up real well. And then you let it sit. And if after 2 minutes, it just like separates out and it's kind of like quercetin is tough. I usually do quercetin with a stir, one of those stir things or in the blender because quercetin has this residue and it just doesn't do it if you just stir it up with a spoon. So if it's fine, then just, you don't even need to add the sunflower lecithin.
I just put quercetin powder on a spoon and just put it in my mouth.
Good for you. You're a trooper.
And actually it's pretty good when you mix it with the liposomal vitamin C. That's another way I do it.
That's a usual way that I do it, but it doesn't, it just kind of.
Or I put it in with yogurt and stir it around.
Yeah, that'll work. I've done that too.
Yeah. Coconut yogurt. But okay. So what you're saying back to the CoQ10 is I could take it and if one scoop, whatever one scoop is.
Whatever the serving size is, check it out. Do the serving size in water.
Do 7 of those and then it doesn't have to be any amount of water would work as long as it's.
Yeah, you have to test it first, right?
Yeah.
So play with it and see. I don't know that it's going to dissolve, but if it will, then that's a good way to do it.
And if it doesn't dissolve,
it's going to be stuck in the little dropper, right? It's just going to be, that's not going to work. How much? I don't know. I've never done
it. No, because how much? I mean, if you're adding sunflower lecithin to a mouse, do you need to?
I'm making it up as I go along.
Okay. Well, okay? I thought maybe you
I'm just going to be honest with you. I know how these things work and I'm just saying, okay, try this. So experiment with it.
And do you need to put it up in the blender to sort of emulsify everything? Is that what you're?
You can try that. I mean, you can certainly try that. Try the easy way, right? The easy way is stick it and shake it up real well. If that doesn't work, try putting it in the blender and then you can make a batch. You don't even have to do it in, you can make a batch of it like in a mason jar, right? Like maybe a smaller one. And that way she has it and then she can just pour it into the tincture bottle and you tell her how much to take.
Okay. I'll experiment on me first.
That's what I think. I think you experiment on you first.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank
you.
So will
you hold it up? Sure, I'll hold it. I'll pose for Aaron Crackers.
Who's that? Is that somebody in your back room?
No.
Don't put my face in.
But I did want to know what kind of dancing Rich is doing.
Oh.
Is he doing ballroom or?
I'm doing all styles. I do ballroom. I do swing. I do freeform dancing.
Awesome. He's just a jock. He is like doing all kinds of exercise, hours and hours of skiing and then dancing. And he wonders why he can't put weight on.
Yeah.
He's burning it. Yeah.
That's true. It's too much fun.
You might as well have fun. That's what life's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
What do you like to do?
Did you have something you wanted to ask? I think your line was open. You there, Anya? I think she might still be at work just listening in and she unmuted. Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. Anything else before I go? Today's my husband's birthday. So
we're
going to go.
Tomorrow is my birthday.
Happy birthday. All you Aries people.
Yeah.
Mine's in a week and a half. So I'm in Aries too.
You and my son share a birthday, Rita Marie.
Oh, we do? Wow, cool. He's a little younger than I.
Yeah.
But I'll just think about it. You were giving birth on my birthday one day.
I know. Oh.
So we'll get to see. My son's going to come over. They're off. They're out playing golf right now.